Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And today we are joined by the fabulous Julia Rayside. Hello, Julia.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Can you tell she's from The Guardian,
that
Ellie?
That is my radio voice.
That's right.
Hello. Very refined.
Yes, very nice. Now, Julia has the best job in the world. She is a TV critic for The Guardian, a TV columnist for Sarah Millican's Standard Issue magazine, and she also is regularly on BBC radio such as Radio 2, 5 Live and 6 Music.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, I am.
You have a lovely life. You as well as speak about television, you've written in newspapers and magazines including The Sunday Times, The Big Issue, Red, Cosmopolitan, Stylus and Mother and Baby.
I do sound cool, don't I?
You do. I like your CV. Welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. We are going to do a TV special.
I'm glad. Hooray! I like that. I like it a lot.
Yes. You like TV. That is lucky. Yeah.
Pretty much that's all I do is watch TV pretty much all the time. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm like a video games journalist by trade. And I don't know if people always ask you this. People always say exactly the same things to me.
Yeah, everyone always asks, do you see TV before other people? And like sometimes it's up to a week before.
She's in the future, ladies and gentlemen.
No, there is an element of time travel in my job. Thank you very much. Although ironically, Doctor Who's the only thing I don't get to see before it goes out.
Really?
So, not actually time travel. The conversation is always the same. It's, do you watch a lot of TV? Do you get to see it early? What should I be watching at the moment? Which is always just like, it's already left my head. Anything I saw this morning has already left my head. It's just, it goes, because I watch so much. But watching TV is a universal. Everyone watches it, don't they? So,
yeah.
Except for those people who say, I don't have a television.
Oh, go away.
I don't really get on with that well, surprisingly.
Do you know, why is that like a cool thing? Like, imagine if you go around, we don't have a toilet. No. We just shit in a bucket in my house.
I think that's a very fair comparison, actually.
It's exactly the
Ellie's got a box for everyone, Julia.
fine.
Yeah, I like to compartmentalise people. It helps me feel like my place in the world is secure. Anyway, Julia, tell us about your family.
I'm frightened. My family, I won't tell you where they live, because I'm afraid now. I've got a husband who is nice. And
for a minute you were going to say nine. Or what?
He was, no, that would be madness. No, he is nice. And I've got a little boy who's 6. And that's it.
And I'm doing enough.
Well, keeping all of that together. I'm doing superbly well with that. So yeah, no, that's enough for me. And they're nice.
Oh, I like nice families. Excellent. And
you're so lucky.
So have you always been a lover of telly, you know, that you are doing it all the time?
Yeah, I have. I've kind of I had not an unusual childhood, but like probably a normal childhood for lots of people. I was in a forces family and we moved house a lot and not necessarily sort of like foreign climes, just a lot of different houses around the UK. And so, you know, the one thing that was my constant, this is very sad, actually, if you've got a tiny violin, you should start playing it now. But it was TV. So, you know, I had to pack up and leave my friends after a few years, move to a new place. But, you know, Blue Peter was always on and it was the same. And so, yeah, TV was the thing I really kind of latched onto.
Apart from when the dogs died, Julia. Those are some of the worst days of my life.
Oh, God!
Okay, well, thanks for that. I was doing really well. I haven't had the dead dog therapy sessions yet, but yeah, no, it's like they buried them all in the garden and they moved them to Manchester now, so it's fine.
My mum still tells a story about when I was little and she was upstairs in the upstairs bathroom having a shit, and she heard me go, "Mummy, mummy!" And she raced like off the toilet, pants around her ankles, down the stairs, and went, "What?" And I went, "Goldie's had her puppies."
See, that this is the happy kind of thing I get. Like, that's not the kind of person I get on with.
Yeah,
those dogs were my dogs. I didn't have pets. It's a very sad childhood. But those dogs were my dogs. That tortoise, George, was it? It was my tortoise. You know, they were my big brothers and sisters. It was a really big deal for me. So, no, TV's always been a sort of, I don't know, it's informed my life, probably in some unhealthy ways as well as healthy ways, but it's been a constant sort of fascination and a friend and a kind of, yeah, an emotional tutor, all kinds of things, really. TV's been really important to me. And I remember my mum and dad saying, you know, I watch too much and, it, you know, oh, you'll that'll never get you anywhere. Mm. Well, frankly, mum and dad, I now write about TV, so you were wrong, and yeah. I'm excited to put this on record now.
Now I'm doing a podcast with no money.
Yeah, I've made it.
Oh. So what were your favourite shows growing up? You mentioned Blue Peter. Did you have Blue Peter in Australia?
No, we had
sorry.
I know, I feel like I'm sort of emotionally retarded because of it. Clearly.
No, it's not because of that, my love.
Oh, well, maybe it's the martini I'm drinking right now. But no, we had similar kind of, you know, kids thing, but I don't think it was, you guys have got like Blue Peter badges and there was much more interactivity.
Speaking of the Blue Peter badge,
yes,
now you've got your own special kind of Blue Peter badge, haven't you, Julia?
Yes, I have. So my name's Julia, I'm 40, and when I was 38 I
slept with Peter Duncan.
Oh. Actually, no. Simon Green in his dressing gown. We'll come to it in a minute. Anyway, so no,
groom
so
on the broom. Sorry.
So I turned. I don't know what happened. I turned 38, and I've never really wanted a tattoo, but suddenly I really did want this tattoo, and so I do have a Blue Peter badge on my shoulder, and I don't, and as soon as I got it, everyone said, "Will you be able to get it to museums with that?" To which I think the answer is probably no. It's not like I didn't genuinely earn it, so I can't. You know, I can't use it for that, but. I don't know why. I think it was probably for all the reasons we were talking about. Blue Peter was such a big, big deal to me, and I loved it. And I kind of, you know, I'm having a midlife crisis, and that's fine. We all have those. But nice, I never actually got a real one. I did try to get a real one, and I never did.
But a tattoo.
But I'm okay
good.
With that. I'm
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
I've got a tattoo now.
No, I had a similar midlife crisis. But my favourite television program growing up was Press Gang. So I actually have a life-size image of Dexter Fletcher's face on my back.
I would actually consider that.
Would you? Yeah.
I would nice. Lick Dexter Fletcher's face, actually.
Oh, spike.
Would you? So tell us about Simon Groom.
Well, okay, so this is important information. I feel like if... I don't know how many people listen to this, but I'm a bit worried that if I disseminate this information, then this is going to ruin the thing that I'm about to tell you. But I'll share it with you. You're nice people. So Simon Groom, you may remember, he presented Blue Peter. It was around the time of Janet Ellis, Peter Duncan. You know,
he was quite lanky and he had like a sort of a bowl cut. Is that right? Like
that's
a sort
the man.
Of monkish.
His dad owned a farm in Derbyshire, in Dethick. That word, the word Dethick, for some people, just takes them right back there. It's just like, I remember that word. So his dad's
the only
farm.
Way is Dethick, aren't
you? Actually, yes, it is. it could be if you want to pay to stay there, because you can.
Oh.
So Simon Groom and his wife, Jilly, now run that farm, his dad's farm. He still lives there. It's been on Blue Peter. In fact, if you're in London and you go to the BFI, the British Film Institute, there's a little room called the Mediatheque in there where you can just put some headphones on for free and just watch anything in their archive. And the film of Simon Groom and Janet, I think he takes Janet Ellis to his dad's farm in Dethick in the snow and they have to like herd sheep and stuff.
Mm.
I did that for one of my birthdays. My husband took me there for that. That was pretty magic.
Amazing!
Can you imagine? It was amazing.
Oh.
But anyway, so soon after we saw that, I was Googling. No, that's what I was on Twitter. This is the best thing ever. I was on Twitter and my friend was having some kind of do in Derbyshire. And we were all going up. I was like, oh, I need to find somewhere to stay in Derbyshire. And just asked Twitter. And Janet Ellis,
Shut up.
Bow down, responded saying, oh, you must stay at Simon's farm. They do B&B.
Oh!
So before she'd finished typing, I was like Googling. found it. And in short, I have now stayed twice at his bed and breakfast in Dethick. And the second time he did come into the kitchen in his dressing gown and nothing else.
Whoa.
And engaged me in conversation about antiques.
Oh.
And it was pretty much the most erotic moment of my life.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Was he like, this dressing gown is antique? So old, it could just fall off.
No, God, no, his wife was there making me boiled eggs. No, no. That'd be weird, but it still was.
Oh, you just had a really weird idea for a new genre of like porn starring ex-Blue Peter presenters. You'd watch it, though, wouldn't you? You'd watch it. It's a market for that.
Slowly eating a sausage.
Yeah. Write that down, Thorne. Right, yeah. That's a £1 million.
That might actually make us some money, Ellie Gibson. Yeah. Maybe.
So did you get any British kids' TV in Australia?
Oh, heaps. So we had like your Press Gang, your Banana Man, your Danger Mouse, brilliant. The goodies. The goodies were on when I was a kid at 5 o'clock, and there was so much sexual innuendo, racism. I can't even repeat the jokes.
Yeah, blame it on the goodies.
Yeah, if it wasn't for you, Bill Oddie, we'd all get along quite well.
We did have, as a cultural exchange, we had Heartbreak High, I love.
Yes, Heartbreak High.
That was fantastic.
And Round the Twist.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love Round the Twist. My friend Taz is my best friend. She is in one of the scenes where she's on a boat for about 20 seconds and she got to have a whole day off school.
Wow. She's in Round the Twist.
That's a great story. Save that for Parker.
And that and... I guess all the Neighbours and the Home and Away as well. We all watched it, you know, the wedding, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, I was obsessed with Neighbours. In fact, my dad, the retired squadron leader, RAF squadron leader, and I bonded when I was a student. I think I'd left home, and all we used to do was like phone each other and say, "Did you see Neighbours today?" Like we'd watch the lunchtime one, then probably the evening one. Was it like the evening one was
5:35?
When was the new one? The evening one was a new one, but the lunchtime one was a repeat of the day before. So we just used to just constantly watch Neighbours.
Yeah, and as a student, if you've smoked enough weed after watching the 5:35 one, you would have forgotten the plot.
It doesn't matter
by the following day.
Obviously, Mr. Udi Gower is back at Lasseter's for an important meeting with Paul. He's a very important client, Christina. Don't mess this up.
Yeah, here comes Matt. Hello, Harold. Have you done the thing yet where you sit down your son and watch like an old TV programme and then
have we done the thing? No, we are the worst. We are the most awful kind of... most of his points... I mean, he does get to watch modern TV as well, but most of his points of reference are the Bagpuss DVDs, the Clangers, Ive the Engine, Banana Man, Danger Mouse. I mean, he watches everything we loved.
Excellent.
Because we've made him, he sodding well has to. And so now I think probably because he's realised that we won't unlock the cellar door until he says he likes it.
Don't you open that trap door!
Yes,
because there's something down there. Yeah. I walk down the aisle to that music.
Do you know what I nearly walked down the aisle to? The Lovejoy theme tune.
Oh!
And it's so happy. It's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, who wouldn't? It's like a sudden... It was that, between that and Miss Marple. It was a bit of a toss-up.
Yeah, a bit of murder. That's what you want on your wedding
Ask me what my first dance was at my wedding.
What was your first dance, Julia?
It was the theme tune to Minder, I Could Be So Good For You, sung by Dennis Waterman.
That is a brilliant first.
God bless Arthur Daly.
But the big question is, how much television do you let your son watch?
Well... I think the answer probably should be, oh, well, you know, we don't really ration it, but I mean, there is a lot of DVD viewing. So I guess that's kind of finite, isn't it? That's not all day.
Are you saying there's a difference if the television is previously recorded?
If you're just like, because it stops at some point. It doesn't just keep going for 24 hours. but no, I mean, we watch a lot of stuff together. Sometimes if I've got an article to write, he might watch stuff on his own. But I mean, he's just his taste, you know, their tastes start to change. My son's six now and he's starting to get into slightly more fighty stuff, which I don't love really. Mm. So, you know, we're trying to pull him back to all the Bagpuss and things. But, you know, eventually he will just want to watch Power Rangers all bloody day. Mm. And, you know, it's kind of still quite a big part of all of our lives because I married someone who likes TV. That's kind of why we like each other. He's nice and likes TV. Perfect for me.
Yeah.
So our son is definitely following our footsteps.
Yeah.
So you're not one of these 2 hours a day and then it goes off, any of that?
No, not really. I mean, I think that the key thing is that if there's loads of TV, then we're probably just watching it with him. And it's not like an exercise in us all ignoring each other, which I think TV can be a bit. The blue flashing parent in the corner of the room thing. You know, sometimes it's definitely that, but actually we get a lot of pleasure out of showing him things that we love and forcing him to like them. That gives us fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you are, darling, time for season two of The West Wing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
I remember when I was a kid, I must have been about 9 or 10, and our teachers made us write down how many hours of telly we watched a day.
Oh, God.
And I remember I wrote down 7. Because obviously there'd be an hour before school.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know how I worked out to 7 hours. That's quite a lot, isn't
it? It is a lot. I mean, you've got to be at school at some point during that day as well.
Probably. But I grew up in rural Australia and that was my window out of the...
You had literally nothing to do.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And, yeah, and I just thought, oh, gosh, that's my only way of seeing some culture.
It's true. It's a way of connecting with different things that aren't to do with your life. It's sort of, you know, I love TV. I think it's a really important thing, and the snobbery about it is just ridiculous.
I sometimes have a little panic about it though and go, oh, I'm letting him watch too much telly. Yeah. And it's all, and sometimes I share this with regular podcast guest Steve Hill and he just says, well, I learnt everything I know from television. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
that's why our general knowledge. That's why Steve and I will always win a pub quiz, because we just know lots of useless rubbish from watching 15 to 1 and, you know, weird documentaries about Hitler. We just, at 3 in the morning.
Well, you watch BBC 4 and you'll learn everything about the world.
God, yes. Horrible Histories have taught me pretty much everything.
Yeah.
I forgot all the history I learned at school, so now I watch Horrible Histories and it's like it goes in.
Yeah.
With a joke, it stays, you know, it stays in my brain much better. So, you know, I think I'm all for it. Any kind of telly that you can learn so much from TV. And as long as you interact with it a bit, don't just sit there with your mouth open, kind of like, you know, watching all the dross that comes at you. You can be selective.
Well, that's it. What about the argument that television makes kids, because it's not interactive, but it's so, you know, it sort of attacks every sense.
Yeah.
And it's so sort of overwhelming. Do you subscribe to any of that, or do you think that's just...
I don't know. I mean, there's obviously proof for, you know, just... I mean, I sit and watch kind of like other kids around me sort of just sitting with their... I mean, the iPad's the big thing. I think TV's actually getting less attractive as they kind of move over to like the smaller screen they can control. And they are interacting, but they're kind of losing the real world completely. Mm. I think depending on what TV you watch, you know, the real world's still there somewhere, whether it's a drama and there's emotional interaction or there's, you know, Blue Peter and you're writing in, my son has just written his first letter to Blue Peter. I didn't make him. Okay, he asked to. And it was like the biggest, most emotional...
Is it, dear Blue Peter, please make my mum stop making me watch Blue Peter.
Yes.
Please make her stop making me write you letters.
If you don't give me a badge, she will get the ship tattooed on her face. And I'm afraid for her. I don't know, there's something about sitting with an iPad just like prodding the screen. And that close proximity to the screen and the kind of the way it cancels out the rest of the world that I think is worse.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So what is your desert island program, Julia, if you could only have one? So one, let's call it, you can have a box set. You're on a desert island, what's your box set?
Literally only one program. Oh, God.
Could she have a few more
That's
what would
horrible.
What would Kirsty Young do?
So instead of, so on Desert Island Discs, they get the Bible and the works of Shakespeare, okay, don't they? So instead of that, you can have like...
Oh, yeah, okay, that's good. So what's my Shakespeare?
What's the thing with the Robert, what's his name? The Passion of the Christ, you can have that.
What?
Because it's about the Bible, isn't it? It's religious.
That's not fair.
Not Life of Brian.
You can have the Life of Brian. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'll have that. Yeah.
And instead of the complete works of Shakespeare...
Yeah.
What's a classic? West Wing?
No, West Wing. I've got the box set of that. So that's
everyone's
like,
everyone's got that.
Okay, so aside from that, oh my God, that's hard. I think to make me happy over the longest period of time, if I could have every episode ever made with Tinker, Eric and Lovejoy in it, then I would probably have Lovejoy.
What?
Lovejoy? It's brilliant.
I just wasn't expecting that. I was expecting like The Wire or Breaking Bad.
Oh yeah, I meant The Wire. Like,
Lovejoy, amazing. Do you know what?
There's
because that's such
them.
A nice answer.
It's brilliant.
That's such a good answer. I'll throw in Diagnosis Murder.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for you. I feel you'll come to regret that choice.
What would you have, Ellie? Come on.
Actually, I've got a confession, right? Mm. I don't really get Breaking Bad. I watched like four episodes and I was like, I didn't hate it, but I was like, yeah, I'm just not that interested in this. Mm. I don't really care about these characters and I don't see what the big deal is.
I think the first episode was absolutely amazing. Like the fact that the first 10 minutes... was like off the scale, one of the most exciting things I've ever seen. And after that, I kind of watched two more episodes and went, yeah, that's great. And then my husband watched the whole lot and I stopped.
Yes! You're the first person I've ever met who's gone, it's not that amazing. And you're like a professional TV critic. That means I'm right.
It's not that it's not amazing. It's just that it just has to... I'm going to put my glass down noisily now. Who on earth has the time to watch all of the things that everyone is saying you must watch? Like,
I just don't watch them.
Between RuPaul's Drag Race, America's Next Top Model, my to-do list is full.
There
Julia.
Are too many. It's like, never mind the big dramas. There are those things. There are, I don't know, they repeat Bullseye on the flicking whatever it is.
Orange
channel.
Is the New Black.
There's enough stuff to watch already.
Obviously, you've got to rewatch Lovejoy with every change of the season.
No, you do, and you get the DVDs, and it's great. but, you know, there are so many new things, and there are great new things. Orange is the New Black, I've seen three episodes of the first series,
tedious.
And I do one episode of each series just to try and keep up, but I just haven't got the time.
No, I didn't like that. See, tedious.
Some of it's great, but some of it's not. I've did nothing.
My opinions are right.
They are valid.
Officially, professionally endorsed.
Oh, don't encourage it, Julia.
It's very
really.
Who's got the tenacity to just keep on? Like, we've all got lives to live. We're going to be dead soon. How do you fit all that telly in? Like, I've got too much stuff to watch.
I know. This is refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Have you got a show, Helen, that everybody's like, oh, it's amazing, and you're like, no, it isn't.
Oh.
Or you just can't be bothered.
No, exactly right. Like I did like The Sopranos, but I don't like a lot of killing.
Yeah. Didn't see all that either. Yep.
No,
yeah,
I couldn't quite. There were scenes that just really upset me and I couldn't. Mm. But I sort of watched it so I could be in the click.
That's the awful thing though. There's all the chatter, the constant chatter. It's like anxiety-inducing chatter of like, did you see? I've developed a theory now called the first and last theory. It's my theory. Imagine I'm wearing a white coat now. And I tried it with several things. In fact, I hate to say it, I tried it with Homeland and it bloody works. If you see a new series you really like the look of and you just can't commit the time to it. I did it with The Affair recently on Sky Atlantic.
Oh, yeah. I love The Affair.
It was great. But the first and last theory is before you commit to the whole series, you just watch one and... the end. So you watch the first one, watch the last one. And I have to say...
Spoilers, Julia!
I watched the first one and the last one and I didn't need the rest of The Affair. Thank you very much. It was fine.
Oh, I like this.
And actually, The Affair I was looking forward to for so long. I love Dominic West and Ruth Wilson. Mm-hmm. I think they're brilliant actors. I've always loved them in everything they've done. And I saw the first episode of that and actually I found them so annoying in that show. If something like, I don't know, Sopranos, it's too long. If there's been one series or something and you think, oh, I've fear of missing out, I should probably check it out. It's on DVD or it's on catch up. Do one and do the end and then just see.
Mm.
I promise you
but Lovejoy, all the way through.
Oh,
no,
do
no
not
skipping.
Miss a thing. Do not
don't
miss
go
a
to
bloody
the
thing.
No, sit on a commode. No. Just sit right through. Yeah.
I once interviewed Sue Ellen off of Dallas. It was in fact Sue Ellen and JR together. It was their last interview together before, sadly, he died. Larry Hagman died. And all I wanted to ask her about was the time that she came to England and was in 7 episodes of Lovejoy. Tell me about Lovejoy. How was it? Did you like Suffolk?
Did you touch McShane?
She did.
Did
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she did, yeah. Oh. That's all I cared about. Oh. I'm obsessed. I'm a sad loser.
Oh. Now, because my next question was, is there a show that you can just watch again and again and again? And you can't say Lovejoy, Julia.
Okay, I'm not going to say. No, there are other shows. Yeah.
Other shows are available.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, anything Victoria Wood ever made. Old French and Saunders as well, I can watch. A lot of comedy, I think. Mm. In terms of drama, I think you kind of have to revisit things, then give them a break, then go back again. So I think I'm thinking about writing a book, and I've got like some ideas about sort of revisiting TV I used to love. And so I'm right back in the vaults now, enjoying myself immensely.
Oh, it's lovely. Mm. It is like, and when you watch those,
very comforting.
It is, and when you hear the theme songs, and it does take you back to those. Yes. I put up something on Facebook recently because I said, oh, we're going to do a TV podcast, and someone said, oh, when she heard the theme song to All Creatures Great and Small, it meant that she had to hop out of the bath.
Snippets I can hear it now.
Yeah.
I'm getting lost in the Yorkshire Dales.
Yeah, you're going through rolling green hills, and I think that's really...
Hand right up there. Yeah. Oh, those were the days.
I know. Oh. I think that was the thing. That lovely man with his hand up a cow's
jacksie. Oh, sorry, no, I was just thinking about my first labour. Just drifted off for a moment, had a little flashback. What's going to be the next Game of Thrones, or as I call it, Game of Elves? I can't bear it, all these...
Do you not like... Okay.
Boobs out and dragons, I can't cope with it. Constant. So whenever it's on, my husband likes it, and I like to annoy him by singing, it's a Game of Elves! It's a Game of Elves! It's a Game of Elves. And really winds him up.
Yeah. And he hasn't left you, so...
Yeah. Now he joins in now.
No, so I actually, Game of Thrones, I didn't want, again, another one of those things about who has the time. So every series started, I'd go to, because I'm fancy, I'd go to the season launch of whatever it was, Game of Thrones at some fancy place. I'm done. I've watched one episode. I write about it. I'm finished. And so season 4 started, and I watched that episode and went, I'll check it out. And
I like elves.
Suddenly I liked elves. And boobs, though they were all very good. Thrones, elves, boobs. Brilliant. So clever how they do all those three things together.
Five stars.
Fucking meta, mate.
It is. Really, really clever. It means something, I'm sure. But so I start, and much to the annoyance of all my friends who are pretty much across the board obsessed with Game of Thrones and have read the books and have watched it since day one. I started watching in season 4 and I refuse to go back because I think I know enough. Again, first and last, there's enough exposition and information that you don't need to watch like 3 series.
I just can't buy this. I'm like a completist. No, I feel like fine. That's like getting a book and like skipping to chapter 45.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
TV just like gives you so many signposts and like, you know, clues to the backstory and blah, blah, blah. It helps you so much. Game of Thrones is done, I think, really brilliantly because I don't really like drama that like prods you and signposts you, and I can't bloody stand Downton Abbey. I never have been able to stand it. It's awful. I like rubbish as much as the next person, but I hate being treated like an idiot when someone's telling me a story. I like to just do some of the work myself.
The Archers is quite bad for that. I can tell by the way a character says good morning that they're having an affair. That's how bad the
Archers
is.
Surely that's just amazing acting. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but I remember like once, because I download the omnibus podcast of the Archers, and I remember once listening to it for like 30 minutes before I realised that I'd skipped an entire month of episodes, and I hadn't even realised that's how little happens.
Exactly. And I don't mind that. In fact, another formative moment in my sort of childhood was I lived in the Midlands for some of my teenage years, and we went on a school trip to Pebble Mill. They recorded the Archers there. I don't know where they record it now. No, I met the man. I'm sure I hope to God it's not still the same guy now. Who, as far as I could tell, his only job was to press play on the theme tune. Oh. And I looked into his eyes and just saw hell. Like every day, twice a day.
If he wasn't doing that, he'd be driving a truck up and down the M1 and murdering women.
He would be. I think you're probably right. It probably kept him off the streets.
So it's time for a game, Helen.
Yes, it is. It is. Now, I am put together a theme tune game, Ellie, because I was chatting to Julia and she said that at her 40th birthday, she asked for theme tunes by the DJ, and that's what you did. Mm. And so what I thought I'd do, I put together a list of theme tunes, and I thought before I sing them, you should dictate the style in which I sing.
Wait, you're singing them? This
yeah.
is brilliant. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
So who would like to choose the musicals on genre first?
I'm going to country and western.
Okay. Have you ever felt like this?
Oh, round the twist.
Done.
Oh.
She's on okay. fire. She's on fire. Ellie, your go.
Hip hop.
Children of the Sun. Your time is just
begun. Cities of Gold.
Yes. Yes.
God damn it. I am so angry right now.
Okay, Ray side.
Okay, like Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Should I do this one neat? And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me that a card attached would say
Amazon Prime.
Some people stand in the dark.
Oh, Baywatch. But the lyrics... Well, isn't how it begins. It actually begins.
I know. Afraid to step into the light.
Well, thank you. I very much have enjoyed the theme tunes game.
Oh, you're very
it.
Welcome. You're very welcome. And that's almost the end, but before we end, we always have to have the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hooray!
Hooray! Would you like me to start?
Yes, please.
So my Scummy Mummy Confession is that we actually met a very lovely lady on the bus, and she was in her full niqab, but my son was very excited by seeing her and said, look, there's a lady ninja.
That's not awkward. That is
no.
Socially awkward.
No, but she was really lovely, and then she just waved back and went, hello, and we all went, hello, and we had a chat. It was really nice. So thank you, lady ninja / lovely lady on the bus. And it was a lovely opportunity to talk about why people dress in different ways in the whole world. So thank you.
But not always because they're ninjas.
Not always because we
although that would have been cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she may have reacted differently if she was a lady ninja. So. So thank you, lovely lady
on the
bus.
In Peckham, wasn't
this
it?
This is in Peckham, yes.
And I know this because you texted me about it. And simultaneously, I was in Catford with my son. So we went to the pound shop and, like, you know, we were just killing time, really. And I was like, I don't want to buy anything. So we sort of walked out the shop. And just as we walked past the security guard, my son started shouting, but mummy, we haven't paid. We haven't paid, mummy, we haven't paid.
Oh, God.
And I had to go, that's because we're not buying anything, very loudly, in a way that obviously I might as well just had a stripy jumper and a bag that said swag on it. It was just like, so yeah, fun days out, dude.
Fun days out. Julia, did you have a fun day?
I tried to be a proper mum today. I tried so fucking hard. And you know, I live in East London. The Olympic Park is really nearby, so today I was like, okay, we'll go to the Olympic Park because I've got an only child, he was bored, and there's a beach there. They've built a beach, and it was like one of the most depressing, just awful things. Just like a billion people on like 8 square foot of land.
Oh.
With like some sand and a tiny pool, and the tiny pool was full of like 18,000 children all trying to kill each other with water. And he's 6 and was frightened. And so we went around all of it, and him just going, it just was scared to do any of it. So we just kind of, we tried so hard to be like other people. We just couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. Did you have an ice cream at the end?
Yeah, we came out, we had an ice cream, we had a cuddle, it was fine. And then we just came home going, let's never leave home again. And he seemed happy with that. So actually, the idea of just like, you know, coming back and watching telly with me, suddenly made all the sense to him, and he loved it. So I feel like it was like a really good lesson in like not spending time with other people and just being with me forever. Never leave home, son, and watch telly. So no, it was actually really dreadful. But at least I tried, right? Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Trying to be like a normal person, like interacting. It was dreadful. Yeah.
Well, that is it. We have reached the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, if you've enjoyed listening to the podcast, please tell your friends, leave us an iTunes rating. We're on the Facebook, aren't we, Helen?
We are. Scummy Mummies Podcast is on Facebook and Twitter at Scummy Mummies and Instagram. Okay.
Well, thanks again, Judy, for being a brilliant guest.
I've had such a laugh.
Oh, good.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me make martinis in your kitchen.
Hey, no, anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
I'll be there whenever you call.
I'll be there
cause
I'm always ready. I won't let you out of my sight.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.